We got underway yesterday with question time, and there are plenty of questions. Thanks for joining us, Willie. Tēnā koe, man.
Morning, Adam.
Thanks so much. Obviously, Rino is stepping aside. You've got James doing likewise as well. So, you know, it's not unfamiliar for politicians who have plenty of experience to step aside off the back of the election. You too were considering that, but you're sticking around for a while, I would hope. What do you make of the contribution of these two as they step aside?
You know, Rino has been a great contributor with us in terms of the Māori caucus, Māori strategy. He's such a good man, Rino. And I was sad that he decided just to slide out. Basically, no fanfare, nothing, no valedictory speech. It's even hard to get him to come and have a few drinks with us, Dale. You know, he's such a humble man, and so I'm at the moment trying to get him to come back up so we can have a bit of a farewell for him, because he made a significant contribution over 12 or 13 years, and his whānau has been big contributors in terms of Labour and Māori. You know, his grandfather, his auntie, also the Tirikatene whānau, the legacy is significant. And so we're all sad, you know. Just last week he gave me a call and said he was he's out, and but you know, it doesn't take away his contribution. He's one of those quiet achievers. He talked about not taking Māori for granted when he put his bill up in terms of representation for Māori on the at council level. That hugely significant a couple of years ago. And someone who you could underestimate in terms of a contribution, because he's never been high profile, but quiet and very significant and strong contributor in terms of the Māori caucus and Māori strategy over the last 12 years, and I've enjoyed my 6 years working with him in Parliament. He's been, as I said, great contributor and good mate, and I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss Reno very much. So it's a big thing for us. And, of course, Calvin Davis leaving at Waitangi, his valedictory is tonight. So we're looking forward to Calvin's speech tonight, Adele.
Yeah, very much so. Both deserve thanks. Will you be there this time next year?
Yeah, I'll be still around, but that's our third big loss in terms of Māori caucus. You look at Nanaia Mahuta, Calvin Davison, Rino Tirikatene. So other than that commitment, I was looking at sliding out at election time, but you know, there's different circumstances. Government that's particularly, in my view, anti-Māori in terms of what they've been doing with regards to strategy and kaupapa, and had a lot of kōrero with friends, whānau, and people, and so I've decided to make this commitment over the next 3 years. So we'll just get on with the business.
Tēnā koe, Willie. Thanks. Okay, well, obviously, it does seem like there's an attack on the treaty, although they are trying to couch it differently. David Seymour says, look, it's just a debate. You've got Luxon saying, oh, we've got no intention to take it past the select committee. Are we to take the kōrero at face value, or do you think that kōrero could be hollow and not to be trusted?
You never trust this lot. You never trust this lot. Because it's a three-headed monster. It's not just a national government. I mean, national would be hard to trust on their own anyway. But, you know, things change all the time in politics. And But I see which way the wind blows, and so, you know, we have to fight and challenge what's in front of us, which is this ignorant and idiotic treaty, a bill that's built on Seymour's ego and arrogance, you know, and it's arrogance that they're in the extreme when you consider he doesn't have a law background, when you consider he's rubbished the some of the best judges in the history of New Zealand with over the 20th century, he's rubbished all the previous prime ministers of Labour and National. You know, this clown knows more than everyone, and he frames everything around this is what a democracy is all about, and this is what politicians have to or should do. No, this is why we have judges. Judges are put in place to interpret legislation and laws. That's what the judges did. They weren't Bush lawyers, Dale. They were the best judges in the history of New Zealand. And we got what we got, which was the principles which they have made an analogy, they're saying are akin to a partnership. And because of that, we have what we have today. You know, Māori have had the treaty settlements process. We have Radio Wātea, we have a Māori radio network, we have Māori television, all coming off the back of the judges' interpretations of the treaty in the mid-80s or later 80s, I think it was 87. So, you know, this guy says, oh, we want to debate. No, we debate. By goodness, we've debated this for years and years. Not our problem, you weren't part of the conversation. What we want is, do we want to inform kōrero? Yes, we do. But this kōrero is based on reducing our rights and getting rid of our rights. That's what he wants, him and his money men. And it's very sad, but we're going through it, and we'll go through it at Waitangi. So, you know, let's just continue along this track.
Tēnā koe. Well, obviously, there's cause for us to be very mindful of what is said and the intent displayed at Waitangi. You've been there many, many times. Are you attending Shane's soiree? And what are you making of the way that he is performing and criticising many, including his swipe at the Greens and their juvenile members. Today, he's a bit of a polarising figure at times, not just with Pākehā, but with our own people too, Shane Jones. What are you making of the way he's tracking, and can you work with him? And what to expect for you at Waitangi?
Well, he does what Shane always does, you know, and he's a provocateur. You know, no surprise, you know, he's running his strategy in terms of questioning the tribunal, et cetera, et cetera. He knows a lot better, you know. He's a bloke who's been around many, many years, you know. Of course, Shane knows the Māori world, but that's his job, to come up with all this sort of nonsense. It's going to be interesting to see how Waitangi treats him. I was watching him and talking with him at Ratana Whare, and he's inviting all the Ratana people up to Waitangi to challenge him the way they challenged him at Ratana Whare, where they called him a taurekareka, et cetera, and he told me that no one will ever call him that. Well, they did, and they did it on their own marae, and, you know, he can tell them to come to Waitangi. It's not Ratana people he should worry about at Waitangi, it's his own relations. They're the ones who will no doubt put up a challenge. We'll see what happens with Jonesy up there. It's going to be interesting and fascinating, and we'll see what happens. But Shane's behaviour is no different to sort of how he's been through the years. You know, he's always a person who likes to go down the other side of, you know, comes from an opposite position, gets away with it a lot because, you know, he's quite a character, beautiful Māori speaker, knows our culture, so he's able to mask and get away with a lot more things than, say, a Seymour, because he's one of us, and and he's a bit of a cultural expert. But, you know, Māori are losing their patience, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think there's a fair assessment. The stakes appear higher for Shane Jones, but we'll wait and see. I, like you, are very intrigued and interested to see how he's treated by his own once he gets to the North. Thanks, Willie J. Good talking with you. We'll stay in touch and get some feedback from up north as well next week. Ngā mihi.
Okay, bro. Great.
Thank you.